What's going on, everybody? Jim Berenger here, the Nightcap. We AEW Full Gear. The wrestling crew was in town live last night. Nightcap recap. Full Press Wrestling. We were live for AEW Full Gear. What a night it was.
What's up, man?
Brad was hot, man. Elite returned. New champions were crowned. But gotta say, what is going on, Amanda? Thanks for coming in here. Always tuning in for us.
Always.
Being there.
Always. Kati, what's up, man?
Always being there for us on the show. Got my girl right there with me. The bobblehead. My personal bobblehead is rocking on the show tonight.
Is that with the Devil's shirt?
Yeah. Devil's colors, baby.
That's awesome.
But AEW Full Gear in the house last night. What a way to go. Yo, hey. What up, Conti?
Thanks for coming in, man. And, yo, you said it right off the top. You just laid it all out there. What a night it was. Great seats by my man Jimmy B here. Awesome seats. We were right next to the entrance. And we were right there, right next to the announcers. The pyro, you felt the pyro whenever the fire was going up, when the fireworks were going off. Great shot of the ring right there, man. Overall, great night. You know, a long night as usual, but always fun. Wrestling night with the boys was a good night. A lot of things went down. There were some really solid matches, some duds. You know, you had your good and bad. As always, you're going to have with a four-hour, five-hour wrestling show. But overall, Full Gear AEW delivered again, man. What a night.
Yeah, what a night. I mean, we were talking yesterday, $1 million gate. They estimated, the estimates going in were between like 120, 125 buy rate. I mean, usually Full Gear is just a tough sell. But the fact no CM Punk, I think people were hyped for the main event, MJF. They knew Elite were returning, so people bought the tickets. They knew Full Gear be, you know, turning things out. And, you know, it was a great show from the start to finish. Like you said, some duds, some, you know, interesting. We were all talking about what's going to open. My boy Lefty hit it right on nail on the head with the cage match. It opened up. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Great match to open the show. They had to go hot. I think I like the fact they opened with that cage match, because if you opened with the Elite returning, I think they would have just, like, the crowd would have been dead.
No, I agree. Yeah, you had to get that match first. It'd be kind of weird to have throw, you know, just looking back on how they paced the show and the order of the matches that they put these matches in. I mean, that was perfect. You get the crowd going hot. I mean, Jungle Boy, right off the bat, bladed, like, within the first couple minutes of this match. I mean, he was getting tossed into the cage pretty much every offensive move that Luchasaurus was doing was throwing Jungle Boy, you know, like a lawn dart, like Rey Mysterio style, into that cage. So we got the blade job early on, and you knew at some point that Jungle Boy, somebody was going to do something off the top of this cage. But really like how they did this match. Pretty much Luchasaurus dominated this thing. Jungle Boy fighting, you know, from behind, the comeback. Christian getting tossed out, trying to get the key to the door. Man, great match. I thought this was the perfect match to get the crowd right into it from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, that table spot off the cage. He hit it a little short because the table didn't break right away, but it's all right then hitting it long where you're going to get hurt.
I want to overshoot it. Looking back on the video that we recorded for that, I mean, to me it just seemed like you don't want to overshoot the table. Just, I guess, the way they positioned it. And he just – I mean, I thought he was going to land on him completely flush. He luckily just got a point of his elbow on him, and the table was able to break just because of Luchasaurus's weight. So it still was a good visual because you had Jungle Boy going up there, Foley style, you know, MSG, the cage back, you know, reminiscing about Jimmy Snuka back in the day. So I thought it was an awesome match. And then he pulls it out and he wins it with the tap out.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great opener. Crowd was into it. And then you get the preview for the Elite. They just get it right out the way. Elite come back with Death Triumph, Rio's title. And, like, a lot of people complain about these trios matches. I think AEW does these trios great. It's fun. There's, like, hot tags, no tags, whatever. It's all no holds barred, really, because the rules get kind of thrown out the window. But Elite return, carry on our wayward son by Kansas. They come back. It's kind of shot at CM Punk. Crowd was anti-punk the whole night. They were big time anti-punkers. But a lot of the BS was put aside.
I was surprised because I thought you know, we'd get some CM Punk chants, which we started getting some early on. But as soon as the Elite was in the flesh, in the building, the match was getting underway, plus that entrance with that song. I mean, how could you not, as a wrestling fan, as a, you know, just a fan in general, how could you not cheer these guys? This company needs these guys to be on the shows every week. You know, the numbers show it. You know, the ratings show it. So it's great to have them back. And early on in this match, I mean, pretty much the whole match, they played the greatest hits here, man. I mean, that's what it seemed like. I mean, we had all these great spots between the Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks. These guys have the chemistry. They've had so many great matches. Kenny Omega looked back in shape. You know, when he first came back, you know, he obviously was wrestling with the shirt on, looked a little rusty coming off that injury. He's had another 2 months off now, and he looks like he's in shape, and he looks like he's back to regular Kenny Omega. And we've been wanting to see him and Pac, you know, go head-to-head, butt heads, and man, what a match. This was match of the night, in my opinion. What do you think?
I mean, I said going in pay-per-view, I thought this was going to be match of the night. I thought it was going to be and it was. It delivered. It probably even did better than my expectations. Like you said, the greatest hits, Lucha Bros, you know, the Pac and Kenny Omega history. I mean, Pac spitting in his face. You know, they have history from when the company first started. They had the Iron Man match. You know, Pac got victories over Omega. You know, the one thing is I wish, you know, Kenny fought Pac when he was a champion.
Yeah.
Because I think that would have been awesome and excellent. Another element thrown into this. Again, you know, you come toward coming towards the end of the match, these guys doing dive spots, doing spots on apron, like all night, guys are doing spots on an apron, just like killing themselves on an apron Phoenix, all night.
Yeah, Phoenix got DDT'd head first onto the apron. What about the shooting star? I mean, the one shooting star pressed to the outside by the Young Bucks. I mean, I could just pinpoint any spot in this match. Go back and watch it. All the high-risk maneuvers that we were, like, on the edge of our seats, and we're like, these guys are going to kill each other.
Seriously, Kenny Omega doing his diving spot, the Bucks doing their spots in stereo. And it was just great.
And you had the crowd, you know, early on in the night with some of those zero-hour matches, the crowd wasn't too into it. It was kind of a quieter crowd. But when you get a match that the crowd's fully engaged the whole time, I mean, from start to finish, you know, obviously you have your lulls in the match, but from start to finish, the crowd is fully engaged, and that's all you can ask for. And the swerve was, we all thought, all right, these guys are coming back. They're winning their titles.
You know? The swerve was Pac again with the hammer. That's what he's been using to try to cheat to keep the belts.
Yeah.
Rey Phoenix is knocked out, and
he didn't want to do it at first. He didn't want to use it the first.
No, he didn't. But when he was knocked out after he got the V trigger, Pac put it in his hand. And then as he's up for the one-winged angel, he hits him into a small package they retain.
Yeah.
We think it's just a one-off match. Come to find out later in the night, they're doing best of seven because of the result of what happened for the titles. They're going to be all on Dynamites. So, I mean, you get a best of seven series with these guys. I mean, let's go.
Like, it's crazy because this is match of the night. And now we're going to probably get seven matches out of this. Most likely it's going to go seven. We all know.
I mean, they basically put your favorite holiday Christmas wreath on this match and on the rest of this series because that's what it is. I mean, these six guys for seven matches, I mean, it's seriously like your best holiday Christmas wreath because you're just getting great match after great match and it's going to be hanging on all season long.
I mean, because you're like, how are these guys going to top this match we just saw? So they're going to go try to top each other for the next seven matches. It's going to be great. And so it's basically a way for, you know, the Elite to earn their way back into this thing. We're not just going to hand them the titles back, you know, just because they're not suspended anymore. But just great to have these guys back. I was very surprised with the FCM Punk chants that we had going on. And it's crazy because at this point, it's like, you know what, CM Punk, he did it to himself. He ruined a lot of goodwill he had with the fans of AEW, with a lot of people that waited 7 years for him to come back, and he kind of just threw it away all in one night. And I think, you know, once everybody saw these guys come back, the Elite, they're like, you know what? These guys are here. CM Punk's a little selfish. Screw this guy. You know, he ruined whatever goodwill he had. Still a little surprised we had that reaction, but, hey, man, the fans are fickle. This is what happened.
Yeah, fans are fickle. I mean, there was a little bit of CM Punk when right before the Elite came out, but other than that,
that went away. That was it.
That was about it. So, after those two big matches, cool down match, everybody, at least in our row, got up, took a couple laps, Jade and Nyla. You were around for it.
Yeah.
I know you said that they came out in the lowrider, Viva, like yeah. Ed Guerrero, but I mean. Ed
Guerrero, not, you know, the lowrider, up and down. They, Vicky had the I'm Your Mommy shirt, just like the I'm Your Poppy for Eddie Guerrero. Nice little tribute. Jade looking great as usual coming out there. She's always got great outfits for all these pay-per-views. And once again, I mean, this match went a little longer than it should have. We all knew what the outcome was going to be. We all knew Jade was going to win this thing. She did. You know, wasn't too exciting. I mean, I was not paying attention for the most part. I was just, you know, you guys went for a walk. But Jade wins it. She's 42-0 now. And I'm just curious, like, what's next for her? Who are they going to have to even, like, compete with her? They kind of painted themselves in a corner because she can't lose that title. Not, like, you don't have anybody to beat her right now. So.
Right, exactly. And the problem is you also can't carry a match. I mean, if it's 5 minutes, it's fine. But
yeah,
like, you don't really have, like – I mean, the only real person that probably could beat her would be, like, a Serena Deeb because right. of the way she works. But other than that, I mean – maybe Ruby or somebody, but it's going to be hard to take the title off of her.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, it was, you know, it was there. I mean, again, we said this is probably one of the matches that could have come off the card, but.
Yeah, know, we always said it. There was like 3 matches on this card we probably didn't need, but.
No. I believe the ROH world title was next. Between Chris Jericho, Danielson, Claudio, and Sammy. Sammy, bad reaction coming out. Crowd hates him. Yeah. Danielson and Claudio got great reactions. So did Jericho. Everybody singing along with Judas.
Yep.
This was a fun match. I thought this was a great four-way. Everybody got time in the ring. Usually sometimes these four-way matches, you know, it's a lot of chaos going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, Danielson and Claudio broke off. They started doing their thing. Then we were wondering when Sammy was going to, you know, was he going to follow suit, just let Jericho win and retain? Or was he going to, you know, turn on Jericho, maybe not full turn, but, you know, get his licks in. And yeah. He broke up a pin, and, you know, he took it to Jericho, and they started fighting. And it was just a fun match. I mean, all four guys have great chemistry. You know what you're going to get with Danielson and Claudio and Jericho, and Sammy delivered, too, with the shooting. I mean, how about that shooting star press? I mean, the shades of Brock Lesnar.
I'll give him props for that because, yeah, you're right. The distance on that was similar to Brock and Angle in Mania 19. It's just that Brock's like a 300-pounder, couldn't get the full rotation. So a guy like Sammy, a cruiserweight, it looked really impressive. I mean, he ended up making it look amazing. We were like, how's he going to hit this thing?
Yeah.
Pull that out. So I'll give him props for that. He's good for a couple of big spots like that here and there. If it wasn't for the trios match, this is probably second best match of the night. And you hit it on the head. I mean, I love Claudio. He's a great professional wrestler. He got all his spots in. He got the big swing in. I was hoping we see a UFO or something like that, but we didn't get it. The big surprise to me was that Jericho ended up retaining this thing.
Yeah, I guess he may drop the title at Final Battle, maybe. I don't know, like, where they're going to go with this.
This thing of he's going through these former ROH world champions. I don't know how many more really they could realistically bring in to wrestle against.
Well, we know one's not. He's not fighting ever.
Yeah, so. He's not fighting Seth Rollins.
Well, that's one. He's not fighting CM Punk. He's
not fighting CM Punk. So, I mean, there's guys that he – there's not much more that he could do with that title. I thought Danielson was a for sure shoo-in to take this thing, get a title belt on him. But overall, good match. And that little backstage skit we got later on with him and Hager and freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy was funny also.
Yeah, freshly squeezed showed up. Jericho was talking about what happened with him and Sammy.
Yeah.
And you know, Orange Cassidy's like, well, I have a friend who's a former ROH champion, Tomohana Ishii, and he's going to fight Jericho Wednesday for the ROH title. So he's running through these former champions. Like you said, how many more can he get through? But a very entertaining match. To me, this was the second best match on the night. Yep. Behind that trios title match, because I thought this was a great match. All four guys worked really well. Sammy obviously hitting his big spots. Danielson and Claudio worked well together, and yeah, just a great match.
I agree. This was definitely one of the top highlights of the night right here.
Then we had Saraya taking on Dr. Britt Baker. DMD, I believe, was the next match following this one. It was a good match. A little sloppy though, very sloppy, because Saraya hasn't wrestled in 5 years. And that was tough. Britt just can't. I mean, Britt can carry matches, but she just can't do it on her own. And it was just tough.
A lot, like what, 5-6 years of ring rust for Saraya. It was expected. She was not in ring shape. She didn't seem like to have the cardio to keep up with Britt. And, you know, you could tell Britt was trying to carry the match as best she could. Some of the moves that Saraya was trying to pull out were like kind of slow motion. And it just wasn't all there. And this is expected. I mean, it's going to happen. She's going to need a lot of like dark matches to get her way back into the ring shape that she wants to be in. Some of the spots, you know, she...
Yeah, they were messed up.
Covering her head, too, to protect herself. We know it. But, yeah, some spots were messed up. It was cool that her brother was ringside cheering her on. We know the story. Her whole family, wrestling family from back in the UK, famous wrestling family. But Saraya did it. You got to give her props that she got back in there and she did it. It's good to see her back. The crowd was behind her. You know, and Britt, props to Britt for putting it over. She could clearly easily be like, you know, I'm the face of the AEW women's division. Who's this woman coming back in here? We're going to put her over. But she's not like that. You know, like, that's a big sign that Britt, you know.
Britt gets it. She understands the business.
And she's not going to be that type of wrestler that doesn't want to put somebody over just because she thinks she's the face of the division, you know?
She doesn't want to be John Cena.
Exactly.
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 So, I mean, it was, you know, it was what it was. I mean, some people got up there in a match, too. I mean, it was just that, like you said, there were just too many spots that were just, like, felt like either they shouldn't have been put in, like that sunset flip off the power bomb spot off the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
The timing was just off on it.
I mean, it was way off on that.
So, I mean, again, the ring rust and everything. So, it was there. TNT Championship was next. Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, Wardlow for the title. You know, good match. I mean, it's triple threat match for the belt.
Yeah.
You know, just keeping moving things along. This one was actually really nicely paced. All the guys got their spots in. You thought Wardlow was going to win. He sets Powerhouse Hobbs up for the Powerbomb Symphony. All of a sudden, Joe sneaks in the ring with the belt, knocks him out, taps out Powerhouse Hobbs. He's double champion, ROH World Television Champion, now the new TNT Champion. I kind of like it because I think Joe is a better champion than Wardlow. The problem is again, did a lot of belts, but you know, TNT champs got to be on all the time now. And now you got Joe with 2 TV titles. He can defend them all the time. And he could just take on all challengers. And now you could still keep this going because now Wardlow could say he never got pinned. Powerhouse Hobbs is going to be like, well, I was powerbombed. I never really. So you could still, like, get something going with these three guys. Keep that storyline going.
Yeah, and we all know Wardlow is better off chasing the title. It seems like when he got the title, his momentum kind of stopped. You know what I mean? They kind of cooled him off a little bit. And it's good that he had an actual 2 good challengers here, 2 guys his size that he can wrestle with. And like you said, Joe's a guy that we want to have on our television every single week, putting on great matches. And now we're going to get that. You know, he should be on every single week defending both titles, one or the other. And this is a better story if Wardlow is chasing that title. Maybe he'll get his win back down the road, but maybe we could do a one-on-one with Joe and Wardlow. Now that's where I think the story will head.
Yeah, I think so, too. Wardlow had a nice spot off the top rope in this match.
He did. Yeah. Like a Swanton Bond type of deal. And I thought he was going to hit his head on the ground on the mat, too. And then he pulled it off. An awesome move by him.
So, next we had Sting and Darby Allin taking on Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Kind of cool in the open.
Yeah.
They put the body bag out. You know, Jay Lethal comes out, you know, with Sanjay, loves Sanjay. Jeff Jarrett comes out. I never thought I would ever hear My World be played in AEW arena.
Yeah.
But for what, you know, the thing is, everybody criticized Jarrett for, you know, coming back or whatever. Let's be honest. Let's give this guy credit. He's in great ring shape for what he is, for how old he is. And you know what? We all said it. You know, like, he was there for Flair with Jay Lethal. You know, if he's going to just do these tag matches every now and then, that's fine. You know, yeah, Darby Allin come out. The Stinger's in the ring. They start brawling everywhere. Both sides of the arena. They went up through the crowd. Jarrett and Darby were in front of us, Braun. I thought they were going to come up by us. That would have been sick.
Sting and Lethal were on the other side, right?
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to get Jarrett and Darby coming up by us because Sting and Lethal were literally going section by section.
Yeah.
Just brawling. And I'm like, man, we're going to get like an all-out brawl here. The spot of the match was obviously Sting tosses Lethal over the barricade. Sting jumps off from the top of the section onto Lethal below, and a security guard's right behind him. 62-year-old Sting, whatever he is, jumping off, you know, balconies like a maniac. Like, that was just insane to me.
Yeah, and I think that after that, like, everything just went downhill because it was a no DQ match, which to me means it's Texas Tornado rules.
Yeah.
So there's guys just end up going on the apron.
And then you go to the ring after that. You should
Like after that, they should have just gone to the ring and the match should have been over.
Yeah.
And they have like this 10-minute match and like Sting can't do anything because he's winded. And then he takes his choke slam from the big guy.
Yeah, I forget his name too.
And it's like, all right, now he can't do anything. And he tried to catch Lethal through the Lethal injection, but fell. But that's not his fault because the dude's 61 years old, and he's just like killed himself off the balcony.
That choke slam that he took, my God, like, I mean, that's why he couldn't get up and do anything anymore. I mean, between jumping off the balcony and doing all that, I mean, I agree. Like, you should have started the match in the ring and then work your way to the outside. Then, you know, you can get your pinfalls or whatever. But like you said, I mean, and then Jarrett, Darby took a crazy-ass guitar bump to the back on the coffin drop. That was crazy.
Yeah, you knew it was coming, but, man, that was a crazy shot.
So, like you said, props because, you know what, it ended up being kind of an entertaining match, the early part of it. And for what Sting and Jarrett can do, which is not much, you give them props because they still pulled out something that you could be entertained watching.
Yeah, it was a good match. You know, Jarrett and Sting are veterans, so I mean, they did their part. And Lethal and Darby are great. And Sting and Darby pick up the win like they always do. And it was a good match. To me, the next match, Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm was better than expected on my part.
Oh, me too.
I thought, you know, it was going to be tough for them to, you know, do anything. But these women know each other for a long, long time. Jamie Hayter, big crowd reaction when she came out. Crowd was into her.
Everybody was behind her.
They wanted her to win the title. I think Tony Khan was listening to the crowd because I think that this was the right decision on the part to have Jamie Hayter go over here because of how over she was at All Out too, to get the title change. This was a very good match. Jamie Hayter got very good spots in. So did Toni Storm. These women put on a great wrestling match. There was I think there was one point during the chant, "This is women's wrestling." Going on during the match, which was great.
Yeah.
You know, Rebel comes down. She gets kicked out.
Britt
She hit Toni Storm with the belt, but kind of fanned on it. Britt Baker comes out, hit the stomp on the outside, send her in. Toni kicks out. Storm Surge kick out. And then Jamie Hayter hit the big clothesline. 1, 2, 3, new interim women's world champion.
I hope they remove that title interim.
Me too. I think, you know, crowning achievement for her.
Yeah.
What she's done. There's a lot of directions now you can go with the title.
I think it's a credit to her for the work that she's put in. Pretty much she's just been Britt's sidekick for the better part of a year. And she's worked her way up to where – organically, when a crowd gets behind you like that, I mean, that's a big deal. The crowd's behind you, face or heel, it doesn't matter. And like you said, it's a rare moment when Khan listens to the crowd. I mean, we said he should have pulled the trigger with the Acclaim the first time, and
he should have done it at All Out. He should have changed the titles there.
You can make an argument that maybe MJF's first time against Moxley, that might have been the time. Maybe
that's Drew talking.
I know. So, no. I think you got to give a credit to Khan, too, that said, all right, you know what, this is the time to make the switch. Because you could easily have been like, Hayter lost it, and then there goes her push. I mean, she's pretty much just relegated to going back to being, like, Britt's sidekick. But I love seeing that Britt and Rebel both try to help her out. Finally gets the W. Crowd went crazy for her. And like you said, a lot of ways where this could go. Britt, you know, the slow build. Britt could get jealous of her. And then we build to that eventually where she becomes a Hayter, becomes a super face. It's going to be awesome.
Right, and like we were talking during this, I was very interested that this match was here and the tag match was next because but after the reaction Hayter got, the crowd was cool for the tag team match. They really were. They came down a lot. Nothing against these teams, but you've seen it three times. This is the third time you're seeing it.
Yeah.
It can't really top the other two times. I mean, this was a good match, Acclaim versus Swerve in Our Glory, but you knew what was going to happen. Great rap by Max Caster. More lines than normal.
Yeah.
It was great. And his rap was solid. Acclaim was over in New Jersey. Shout out Anthony Bowens, Nutley Kid.
Yep.
Did his job. They looked great. You knew what was going to happen in the match. Swerve and Keith Lee not on the same page. And, you know, Acclaim was going to come in. This is where you kind of felt like you could have had FTR in the spot.
I'm with you on that. I would have liked to prefer to see them. But, like you said, finally Swerve and Lee split up. Lee leaves Swerve high and dry after Swerve, you know, slaps him. And, the Acclaim hit their finish. Super over, right? Everybody's got the Acclaim T-shirts were sold out at the merch stand. Everybody had the scissors. Billy Gunn made his presence known.
And then he got kicked out.
Then he got kicked out. Just a feel-good story for those guys, the Jersey Kid, like you said. And, hey, man, this was probably the high point for them. So I hope they keep it up. And it'd be cool to see FTR or another formidable tag team get in here and get going with the Acclaim.
I'm just kind of glad the storyline's over because, like,
we don't need to see it three times.
We didn't need to see it three times. And, like, Keith Lee, he was like, oh, use the pliers. He's like, no, I'm not going to cheat. We don't need to cheat. I'm the cheat code. He's right. I mean, you have a big guy like that who's beating you. So he slapped him. He's just like, I'm out of here. And he watched the rest of the match from the ramp. And he sees Swerve get pinned. So that was good. Main event. Oh, yeah. MJF versus John Moxley for the AEW World Championship.
Sure.
The build, we got the video package, MJF's music hits, comes out, crowd hot, super over babyface reaction for MJF.
We actually had a new champ chant going. New champ.
Yeah.
I never heard that one before, but like you said, MJF super over. Moxley was actually getting booed, which was crazy.
I mean, just organically booed. He didn't do anything, just the crowd wanted MJF.
Crowd wanted MJF. He became undeniable. I mean, that's what really happened, but after like the weeks and the months of buildup where, like you said, is MJF going to do this clean? Is he going to, you know, is he changing? You noticed that he was coming out saving Moxley because he wanted Moxley to be fresh for the pay-per-view. We thought some kind of swerve was going to happen. We threw out our ideas and our theories and, they teased it a little bit with the way Regal was staring at MJF when Dynamite went off the air, this past week. So, you could take it away from here. Like, what ended up happening?
It was a great match. I mean, basically the whole match, MJF worked babyface. Moxley worked heel. I mean, he had babyface comebacks. Moxley was working heel. Like you said, no fault of his own. I mean, he's a great champion, but he was slipping off the crowd, trash-talking the crowd. He's working heel. Basically, when he first came into the company, he was working heel.
The crowd's giving you. I mean, these guys are professionals. You listen to the crowd, and that's how you play it.
Right, and the crowd was super over for MJF, so he had big-time babyface comeback. You had Moxley working heel. They had that table spot off the – first of all, Moxley gets pile-driven on the apron, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Then you had the table spot where MJF takes a pile-driver through the table
off
the apron, which was crazy.
And MJF saved Moxley there because Moxley almost, he tried to get him up into that pile driver position, and he almost fell over there.
Right, so he saved them there, and then so they get back in the ring, they're tussling. It was a great match. I mean, basically, you know, MJF's fighting from behind, trying to do this clean. Referee bump.
Yep. Two referee bumps.
Well, if the first one comes, and lo and behold, what's in his trunks? The Dynamite diamond ring.
Yep.
What he's used the whole time to win. So where's Regal? Regal comes down after he leaves.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't you use it. You don't need to use it. MJF throws it back at Regal, then flips him off, and then gets put in a bulldog choke. There's no referee. Second referee comes down. The second referee bump happens. He gets out again, but then gets put in the rear naked bulldog, taps out. Rendsburg's still on the ground. Moxley breaks the hold. As we were saying, how's the ref not hear this? Because the mic was loud in the ring.
Yeah,
we could hear it.
Tapping out.
Yeah, he was definitely tapping out. And then so Regal tells Moxley to go get the referee because he's out. And what happens? Regal slips some brass knucks.
Brass knucks.
And then bam. And then 1, 2, 3, new AEW World Champion, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, put your holiday Christmas wreath up on a stage.
Love
put it.
It
up on your house. New champion. It was beautiful. The crowd, the pop was huge for when MJF won.
The moment we've been waiting for, man. We've been talking about it for 3 years since the company started. We're like, this kid is the future. This kid's the future champ. I can't wait until it happens. You know, we all know it probably would have been with CM Punk here, but who cares? Because Moxley is definitely the greatest AEW champ of all time. I mean, he's a 3-time champ.
He carried the company for 6 months as champion.
Yeah, carried it now. Could have been on his vacation. So you got to give credit to him. MJF, this whole time, you could tell like he wanted it. Just from his promos, the work he was putting in to promote this pay-per-view, you know, he was going all over the place. He's promoting it on Barstool Sports. He's promoting it on outside media outlets. He really was putting the work in for this, you know, and he truly feels that, you know what, it's time for a new era of this company. Cody Rhodes, gone.
He's gone.
You know, CM Punk probably gone now. These are guys that Cody Rhodes, obviously MJF, you know, was Cody's friend in the beginning of the company. Jericho, too, another guy. But Jericho's not going anywhere. But these are guys that kind of overshadowed him, that he was under the cloud, in their shadow, so to say. And now for him to win this, dream come true, you could tell, whatever. Cheat to win, whatever he had to do. It meant a lot to him because you could see his facial reactions afterwards. And I love the press conference at the media scrum.
Oh, yeah, he told everybody off.
He told everybody.
And then he used a famous Jim Cornette line. Thank you, F you, bye.
I love it.
He was just gone.
Yeah.
He fooled everybody. And he was talking about the devil. Was it him? Was it Regal the whole time? Regal, remember, don't forget, in the promos leading up, Regal talked about he didn't need rings. When he needed to use it, he used the Nux.
Right.
So he gave him the Nux, and there's a history between those two.
Yeah.
And it's coming full circle. Now you have a lot. You know, not only with MJF and Moxley, because I do think Moxley's probably going to get a rematch.
Probably.
When he comes back. But you have Claudio, you have Danielson, maybe Yuta trying to work their way in. You know, revenge for Moxley while he's out.
Yeah, what happens to the combat club here? Do they dissolve? I mean, it's going to be...
I mean, well, we know Danielson and Yuta have issues. What about Claudio? I mean, do they dissolve? You know, after the match, obviously the crowd was giving Moxley his dues. He was saying thank you, Moxley, for what he's done. I mean, after the match and everything, and you were wondering what was going to happen, but the Blackpool Combat Club came out. Moxley took his bows because he's going on vacation now, and, you know, and then it was great to see. And then waking up this morning, you texted me, Kenny Omega challenged Will Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom 17.
Yeah, right. Dropped the promo in Japanese on Twitter. So that's huge. I mean, that's a big-time match right there. Everybody...
Yo, Forbidden Door, baby, is really open now.
Yo, Forbidden Door is open. But I agree, man, a lot of ways that you could go with MJF. Curious to see who his first challenger is going to be.
Well, we know whose first challenger is probably going to be is either Ethan Page or Ricky Starks.
Yeah, that's right, because of the Eliminator Tournament. So that's going to be really good. Any dislikes? I mean, I'll say off the bat, I thought some of the production stuff could have been better, because – one big thing was at the beginning of the pay-per-view, WWE does this. You get a little countdown going, let the fans know, hey, we're going live on pay-per-view in about less than 2 minutes. So we know and we're prepared when the pyro hits. We could. I feel like the pyro just went off out of nowhere, and then they went right into the match. So it's a production thing, pacing the show, timing the show. Tony needs a guy that can put a show together from a logistical standpoint in that way. If I had to say a con, that was really the only con I had.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, you know, they counted us down for the pre-show. They should have counted us down once the pre-show ended to let us know, hey, the pay-per-view is going to start. We're going live on Bleacher Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, and go. Because the one pyro, I was like tweeting something, and all of a sudden I just got startled. I'm like, pyro's going off?
We all did. I was ready to, like, stand up, go crazy. We couldn't believe the pyro went off. So I don't know if it was a miscue. Somebody missed their cue, but they need work to work on that. And for the most part, everything else was fine.
I thought it was fine. I thought everything was fine. I think, again, the pace of the pay-per-views, these pay-per-views, Revolution and Full Gear, just need to be 3 hours.
You
don't need to put everything on those shows. All Out and Double or Nothing, fine. They're holiday weekends, whatever. Go as long as you want. Go 4 hours. I don't, whatever. It doesn't matter to me.
These shows should be 3 hours.
These shows should be 3 hours. You don't need more than that. The Pacer match is a little bit better. There were, again, three or four matches I could have taken off this card and put on Dynamite or Rampage or something, because you could have just paced it so much better. But overall, I thought the crowd was really good. Crowd was really hot. You know, Full Gear delivered. I think this was probably one of their better Full Gears outside of last. I think this was, you know, last year, obviously, Full Gear was really good because of Paige and Omega storyline going into it. But I thought this was better than the first one. I thought this was a really good Full Gear. And, you know, it's a New Jersey wrestling crowd. It's Northeast wrestling crowd. They're not going to disappoint in this area. They're going to let you know how they really feel. Yeah. And we're an intelligent crew. And we know what's going on. You know, again, I think if they can ever start doing house shows, like, in an area to just improve the quality of the undercard and the matches, like, with certain people, I think that would be helpful, too.
I agree. I think they could definitely have more work with their a lot of the matches tend to have a lot of the same spots. You know, there's no variation sometimes. A few of the guys in the company, you know, who are the guys that put on really good matches, and you can see it in their product when they do it. But like you said, the undercard really needs a lot of work.
I mean, like, look, the 10-man tag. Right. There were definite spots there, you know, that were definitely sloppy. I mean, it's good to see Orange Cassidy, Best Friends, all those guys on there. But you could tell that, like, a couple of guys in the factory need work. You know, Ricky Starks looks good. He's great. Cage, that match was actually really good. Eddie Kingston match was really excellent.
It was, yeah.
And then he sold the hell out of the pay-per-view. He's like, go buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I love Eddie Kingston, man. He's great.
Kingston is great.
Right. So, overall, great experience.
Absolutely.
It's been a while. You know, AEW definitely has a home here at The Rock at Prudential Center. Always a hot crowd every time we go there. So, great stuff overall, top to bottom.
Absolutely. I thought it was a great show. Great pay-per-view to be at. You know, worth the money. As we always said, we're either going to buy it or go at the 30 extra bucks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
For going to the show, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're going to buy it anyway and watch it. So.
Good stuff, man.
I mean, it was great. You know, the show, you know, the seats were good. I love I was looking at the ticket. Limited view. What, the camera? Okay.
We didn't have.
Big deal.
I think that they just. Those sections, what they mean by those sections is because, like, normally back in the WWE days, you kind of couldn't really see the Titantron that well.
Right.
AEW setup is fine. I mean, it's not limited view at all. Whatever side you're on, you could see everything. It was perfect.
It was great. We got to see everybody come out.
Yeah.
Who do you think got the biggest pop of the night?
Biggest
pop? MJF or the Elite?
It's probably.
Do you want to throw somebody else in?
No, I mean, I'm not going to say Hayter got a huge – I'm going to say Hayter's victory when she – the 1-2-3 count for Hayter and MJF were like insane pops, both of those. Coming out entrance-wise, I'm going to say I'm going to give the Elite a slight edge because we hadn't seen those guys in 2 months. Plus, we had Carry On, My Wayward Son. The whole arena was singing it.
That was great.
Experience. So, I you know, you could tell the emotion coming out of those guys. They were just happy to be back. And like you said, maybe a little subtle shot at CM Punk. So I'll give the slight edge to the entrance pop to the Elite, but I'll say at the end of a match, it's a close tie between when Hayter won and MJF won. I'll give the nod to MJF on that. What do you
think? Yeah, I thought Hayter had a good entrance too. I thought the crowd when she came out. Elite definitely an entrance, but I agree. Either you can argue either, and it wouldn't be wrong. Hayter or MJF would have popped for a finish of the match because. Yeah. They both deserved it. Crowd wanted it, and they were stereos with the 1-2-3s. And now MJF title reign runs, and we head into Dynamite, loaded on Wednesday pre-Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right. On the road to what, Revolution now?
Yeah, well, on the road to really Winter's Coming.
Winter's Coming. I mean, we have a couple little small shows. Yeah, Winter's Coming. What else?
New Year's Smash.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to get those little small-time events, but the next big pay-per-view is going to be Revolution, obviously.
In California.
California. So you know, just looking forward to see what card they put out for that. Love to see the FTR back on the show, as we always say.
I personally think they should win the tag titles there.
Give them the tag titles. Let them get a year run as champs, because Dax has been saying it. You know, they're getting older. They don't know how much longer they got. Give them the 1 year run. They deserve it, man.
Absolutely. The way they put matches together, and they could run through everybody again.
And yeah, cap it off with another FTR Young Bucks match. Why are we not getting that match?
We need the trilogy.
What? But why is that not a best of seven? Give me a best
of
seven.
That should be a best of seven. Maybe that could be a best of seven for the belts. That'd be great.
Somebody said on Twitter, tweeting about the 6 year anniversary of a great tag match with DIY at NXT, 2 out of 3 falls in Canada, instead of being live in the arena, the best tag team in the world. I get it. You said it. They deserve a night off. They're all over the place. But, like, that's something wrong. I feel like there's something wrong when your best tag team is tweeting about watching an anniversary show and live tweeting it instead of talking about your pay-per-view.
Right, exactly.
Get these boys back. Tony, book them. Like they always said, book them.
Yo, book them, Tony. Let's go.
Let's go.
I know we're FTR guys, but still.
Book them.
Book them, Tony. Yeah. Book them. But overall, Full Gear, really good. A lot of stuff coming out of it, like the best of seven with Death Triangle and the Elite.
Yeah. Loaded card already for Dynamite, yeah.
Loaded card. You got ROH title. You got the World Title Eliminator.
Yep.
All Atlantic titles on the line. A lot of stuff. Obviously, we're going to see MJF will be on there on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good card. You know, they're going to load it up because they're going to get that I think because of the crowd and everything heading into Full Gear, the rating was down. This rating post Full Gear will be way up.
I hope so. I hope we get it back up above to the regular, like the 900K near a million like they normally be getting.
Because I think they'll get it there. It was a really good show, Full Gear. Still chance to order it on Bleacher Report. I know I don't work for the company, but if you missed out, go check it out on Bleacher Report. YouTube's got highlights as well. But, you know, to me, I think just being there was cool.
Yeah.
And first pay-per-view, as we said.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, but we went 3 shows in that building.
Yeah.
Since September 2021. So.
Right. So I love it, man. I love it.
So it was really good, but great experience. And AEW Full Gear, I give it a solid A-.
I'll give it that, too. I'll go B+.
Nice. But thanks for everybody for tuning in tonight as we recap AEW Full Gear. Stay tuned. We'll figure out the next time we're on here recap stuff.
Happy Thanksgiving. If we don't get on here.
What?
If we don't get on here by, you know, Wednesday night, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. And don't forget Survivor Series next Saturday.
Yep.
Check it out. It's that time of year, the Thanksgiving tradition that is the Survivor Series. But thank you again for everybody tuning in, Amanda. Thank you. Always helping out the Nightcap Recap with the words of the night. We love it here. And I hope everybody enjoys their Sunday evening. Thanks again.
Have a good night.
Woo!
Woo!